This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you, Cheryl. Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to ATRT3 Review Team Plenary Call Number 4 on February 27, 2019 at 2100 UTC. Attending the call today is Cheryl Langdonor, Jacques Blanc, Sebastian Bachelet, Osvaldo Novoa, Daniel Nanghaka, Martin Baderman, Yap Akahus, Vanda Gartazini, Demi Gekko, Erica Varley, Tola,
Sugbeason,
Jeff Houston, Michael Karinakolis, Pat Kane. Observers joining us today are Sophie, John Fanning, Yang Huang Yu, Herb Wei, Avery Doria, and I apologize for this. I'm going to say Thatcher Bong has joined. We do have apologies from Ramit Halili, from ICANN.org, Jean-Baptiste Drolet, and Brenda Brewer. And I apologize if I've missed anyone that may have just joined. Today's meeting is being recorded. I'd like to remind you to state your name before speaking, and I'll turn the call over to Cheryl. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Pat and I were flipping coins, and we thought he might start off, but I'll jump in and he can take over from agenda item. I noticed there's a couple of microphones open. This is Cheryl Langdonor for the record. If you've got your microphone open, it may bring in background noise, so please mute your microphones. If you don't, Brenda and I'll start pinging at you under private chat. Brenda might want to do that already. So let's get going. Today we are going to have the dipping into the preparation for our terms of reference and work plan, and we're also going to be discussing the face-to-face meetings, both one you know about in Los Angeles and the ones we need to plan for the future. We're going to have a little word about transparency. We're going to discuss the informal meeting, an hour of our time for those of us who are in Kobe and who may, and for those who may be wanting to join us remotely. Got results from the Doodle, but as usual, we've got three choices to make, not just one. Any other business, and of course the review of action items. Before we go through the option for any SOI updates, is there anyone who has a matter of any other business that they'd like to flag now? Not seeing anyone's hand come up and not hearing any voices. Let's then very briefly note that anyone who has an update to their statement of interest, it'll be the practice of this review team that we operate under continuous disclosure, as many groups at ICANN in fact do. And so at the beginning of each of our calls, we will take a moment to see if anyone needs to update their statement of interest, and if anyone does need to do that now, please let us know. You can always, of course, just pop it into the chat if you don't want to take the time to make a verbal report. But it is good practice to make sure that we are under continuous disclosure for updating our statements of interest. With that, I suspect I have filibustered and managed to stumble through agenda item one, and that Pat will be all organised, and more important, it looks like Martin's finally got his mic working, which means we'll be able to hear from him. And I'm going to hand it over to you, Pat, for the next slide and the very exciting delving in terms of reference, which I trust everyone has looked at the exemplary and representative text in the draft. Over to you, my friend.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Pat. As Cheryl has said, the terms of reference that was sent out by staff earlier today is full of representative language and it's just a template, and this is not actually our first cut at our own terms of reference. But some of the things in there that we do want to walk through is, we'll go in a couple of more slides. So in terms of the terms of reference, the things that we have to get done is we need to define our scope through the development of specific objectives. These objectives will cover the specific areas that we want to address, and of course this will produce the number of recommendations that the team will agree upon and put forth to the community. We want to make certain that we agree upon definitions, and as we go through this, every time we have a question about a definition, I think it's vitally important that we come to agreement on what that is and whether it's a definition that we create for ourselves through ATRT3 or whether we use from a previous review team. I'm open to either or. I think that the team, but we should come together and say, this is how we define this specific term. Agree upon deliverables, an initial draft. Do we want one or two? I guess if you can't have two initial drafts, so let me call them interim drafts. And a final draft, I guess we will have a final deliverable of the product. And what kind of form of recommendations do we want to put into place? Develop a timeline so that we can manage the work. You'll see later on, or if you've already looked through the slides, there is an updated representative timeline that I've tried to get closer to some of the dates that we have and know today. Agree upon a work process. I have a slide that we'll walk through and kind of do a starting point, at least to work through the terms of reference. I want everybody to pile on or ask questions or do whatever they need to through that process. We need to submit to ICANN Board of Review for review and suggestions within 60 days. So if we have as a date for our first meeting, which we do, of course, April 3rd through 5th, that means that we need to by June 3rd to be able to get something to the ICANN Board for review, which kind of fits in nicely that we get it to them ahead of the ICANN meeting in Marrakesh, which I think is 24th to the 27th, and then make adjustments as appropriate in terms of the terms of reference. Questions, comments, concerns? Okay, great. Next slide then. So in the bylaws themselves, there's some specific areas for us to take a look at. So Section 46C2 talks about some areas. Now these, of course, on the very first one, it says, you know, these are areas that we may assess, but we're not limited to these particular areas. So just to walk through and talk from A, the letter A, taking a look really at the board governance and the effectiveness of the board governance. Do we select board members properly? Do we have the right balance? Do we want to continue to take a look at gender and geography diversity, or do we need to add a diversity of skill sets in terms of specific things that the ICANN board should take a look at? One of the questions that we've had in the past is, should there be continue to be a single board? Is there a inherent conflict between the fiduciary responsibility of the board and the management and the leadership of the ICANN community? So those are kinds of things that I think would fall under A. Under B, taking a look at the role of the GAC, taking a look at the effectiveness of the GAC. Does the GAC participate in an appropriate level? So take a look at that. Under C, assessing the processes to how we receive public input. Does the 42-day review period work effectively enough? Do we have working groups that aren't necessarily staffed well enough to come up with a community solution? Those types of things. D, assessing the extent to which ICANN's decisions are supported and accepted by the internet community. Well, I'm certain we can find every decision that's not supported by somebody in the community, but what level of support are we looking for? And then the policy development process itself. Cross-community deliberations, are the working groups that we have, appropriate? There's a new function or a new feature that the board is using, which is a caucus. Is that something that becomes interesting in the future, et cetera? And then, taking a look at the independent review process. Questions on that page? Great. Next slide. So in terms of Section 3 and Section 4 of Section 4.6, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team will assess the extent which prior Accountability and Transfer Review recommendations have been implemented. And that's taking a look at ATRT 1 and ATRT 2 and take a look at what has not been addressed and to a certain extent, the effectiveness of what has been addressed. Was the implementation in line with the intent of the recommendation in both ATRT 1 and 2. Now, having Cheryl on this team as a member of ATRT 1 is very helpful, but we may have to go back and have conversations and interviews with other ATRT review team members from 1 and 2 to kind of assess that as well. And then the last one from the bylaws itself is taking a look at, do we have the right reviews? Do we need to have an SSR2 review in the future, or SSR review in the future? Do we need to add additional reviews into the future? So that's something that we can consider, not necessarily that we need to. So these are all topics that we can draw from. Questions? Okay, next slide, please. So, one of the things that I'd like us to take a look at, and again, this up to the team to consider through this, and we'll talk about how we get through that in the work plan. But when we hear Shireen and we hear Joran talk about the future of ICANN, there's five trends that they focus on, and as we look at these five trends and addressing what ICANN might look like in the future years, how can we help inform the next ATRT review in terms of what we can put in place to improve accountability and transparency into these areas. So we hear Shireen and Joran talk about addressing the increased number of security and stability issues that we see today. What does that mean from a standpoint of spam, phishing? Are those within limits? Are those out of bounds? How do we look at command and control? How do we look at malware distribution in terms of DNS abuse? What are the things that we should put in place there? Is ESSAC appropriately addressing those areas in a accountable and transparent manner, et cetera? We hear Joran talk about the evolution of the multi-stakeholder model. What should it look like to get more things done faster? You know, I think that there's some dissatisfaction from some in the community about what that looks like. So how can we put things in place for the future that have accountability and transparency as those things change? The evolution of the Internet's set of unique identifiers. Is it just domain names? Is it just IP addresses? Is it just the IETF items that we track within the IANA function? Are there other things? We've invited into the community digital object architecture. We have people taking a look within the community on other types of technologies and competitive technologies to the DNS. So what would that look like? Increasing international regulation on content and privacy. What is that going to take a look like? Should ICANN be a part of that? Should we put some controls in place to measure, or give gates recommend gates that say this is something we should look at given some types of events? And then last and certainly not least in my mind, the long-term and stable funding of ICANN. Does ICANN have enough money to do the job that we want them to do today and tomorrow, and what should those financial structures look like? Something else for the future of ICANN in terms of ICANN org and staff engagement and advisory or standards bodies. We have ICANN members that, and this is particularly important as a contracted party for me, ICANN staff is involved in the development of RFCs within the IETF and in the contracts that we have with registry operators and registrar operators, there are obligations to work towards those RFCs. So is that something that's a transparent or is that something that's an accountable process where ICANN is putting more obligations on the contractor parties within the community. What is the role of ICANN Oregon staff in technical advisory committees? SSAC and RSAC, is LROOT really off limits from the community because, quite frankly, nobody has a relationship with any root server operator? There's informal guidelines bodies, and then driving additional community obligations outside of the normal standards process. And then the last one that came up through some other discussions last spring is should ATRT3 consider undertaking a discussion on how to streamline specific reviews in a more effective and impactful manner. That's one that doesn't jump off the page for me, but it might for others. Questions on that page? All right, I'm not managing chat if anyone else is. Jean-Baptiste, I don't know if you are or not, but I'm not reading through the chat right now while I'm talking.
I'm fine with chat, don't worry.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl.
Me too, Patrick. You don't want to interrupt.
Next slide. So how best to take and look and address community input? Do we want to take community input? Do we want to do that as part of putting out our initial draft? Do we want to take input from the community ahead of time? We know that we're going to submit the terms of reference for review by the board, but we probably should have it reviewed by the community. And how best to gather that input? Do we want a typical comment period that we put out for everyone? Do we want some kind of shortened comment period? 42 days seems like a long comment period. Or do we want to have face-to-face discussions in Marrakesh? And when Cheryl and I talked about this one on Monday, I found this really appealing because if we're able to deliver something in early June that talks about the objectives, it might be interesting for us as a team to engage with the different ACs and the different SOs to see what works, what doesn't work, where they think we should take a look, and then how do we address that input when it is received? Do we choose on our own what we want to do, or do we think we owe each of those SOs and ACs an explanation as to why we selected or why we've rejected certain suggestions from the community? Next slide, please. All right, so before we jump into deliverables and definitions, those are all suggestions for us to take a look at how we obtain the areas that we want to look at or the items we want to look at to create recommendations. There's a ton there, and certainly we're not going to be able to address all of that in a year. So when we get to the work plan slide, I'll have some suggestions or at least a starting point where we can have a conversation as to how we want to work through all of that to create what we think are the most impactful items for recommendations, either areas to where we see that. I'm sorry. Yes.
I just wanted to mention that there is a hand raised from Cheryl.
Thank you so much, Cheryl.
Pat, and believe me, Jean-Baptiste, I'm pretty capable of jumping in if he doesn't notice me. Don't worry about that. I would more than happy to wait for you to finish your sentence, though, Pat. Just wanted to, now I've got the microphone, Cheryl Langdon off the record, just wanted to bring some other information to the table which neither Pat nor I were aware of, at least I certainly wasn't, when we had our discussions on Monday about all of this. And that was something that came up in the MSFI pre-ICANN 64 briefing today that some of you may very well have attended. And if you did, you'll have noticed during the slide that Lars spoke to, and Jean-Baptiste is going to be tracking this down for us anyway. It looks like he's already done it with extreme efficiency, thank you, that listed on the PowerPoint slide. Of course, you know my views on the community believing that if it was ever printed on a PowerPoint slide, it is probably the gospel truth, and how I feel about that. But anyway, it was printed on a PowerPoint slide. That one of the things we would be looking at is the organisational standards, the operational standards for specific reviews. I'm not sure that we've agreed to that, but it has been said, and community may ask, if we choose not to do it, why we don't do it, that we certainly now need to consider that has been voluntold to us to at least take under advisement as yet another piece of work we can do in the extremely small amount of time we have. So there we go. The uploads in progress is just one line. It's a reference point, but because it's been published, we should deal with it one way or the other. Thank you.
This is Pat. Thank you, Cheryl. So this is, so Jean-Baptiste, this is unfamiliar to me, this slide.
Sorry, Patrick.
Let's go back to the work plan, and we will we'll ask Jean-Baptiste to send us the slide from the presentation I referred to. Because it is simply something that has been thrown on our table, and therefore we need to deal with it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. All right. So, from a deliverable standpoint and definitions, you know, the two dates that stand out the most right now in terms of what the schedule will look like, I think, is June 3rd is when our terms of reference work plan timeline need to be submitted. For feedback. I think that if we get started now and we're productive on April 3rd through 5th, that we should be able to get way out ahead of this, hopefully, and then we're roughly putting in place April 5th of 2020 for the final draft. Maybe we can bring it in some so that we could have our final conversation really in, where are we at next spring? Cancun?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Right. Also take a look at how we want to format our recommendations. Do we want to use the ATRT2 format or something else, or what do we want to take a look at? Now, talked about definitions earlier. I think it's really important, again, that we agree upon definitions so we have the same reference point in our mind when we have these conversations. And what do we want to do? Do we want to start with those that were used in ATRT2? Right. Can't even say that half the time. ATRT2 for consistency, or do we want to create new ones given that this will be the first review, accountability and transparency review that we've done under the new bylaws, and then have some repository on the wiki page to where we can store those and be able to reference those quickly. Next slide.
Patrick, I just wanted to mention a few things.
Sure.
In the chat, Martin was saying that he's very happy to make sure we include operational principles as guide to the way we work, even they're not final, yet they may guide our current way of interaction. There is is adding a plus one on definitions of clarity. And Vanda is finally saying that she believes that we can analyze each ATRT2 format after have a clear term of reference.
Absolutely. All right. So So the work plan to get to a terms of reference deliverable, what I think we ought to start initially, and here I'm hoping to get a lot of feedback, is that we, as the 17 or 18 of us that are a part of this team, is we start to think through areas that and topics that we believe are worthy of review and taking a look at. What I'd like to do over time, you know, I don't exactly have a specific number of days that we do that, but kind of work through that and do a triage on these topics based upon perceived resources required to do the review, perceived time available. Do we need entities that are external to ICANN to get information from, and take a look also what the potential cost of review for all of these items are. After that, go through and rank order the topics. You know, what do we think are the most meaningful and most beneficial to the community? That when we get into LA on the 3rd or the 5th, we can discuss face-to-face what that rank order was, and we can have a deeper, more fulsome conversation on what we think are behind them. And then whatever we get to in terms of the number of items on that rank order, do we go to 10, do we go to 20, do we go to 30, whatever that number is, try to organize those topics into 4 or 6 objectives that make sense, and then create work parties around those objectives. And what I'm hoping by having work parties is that of the 18 of us, we break up into teams of 3 or 4 based upon our skill sets, based upon our interests, and actually take each of those work parties and drive out issues within those areas that we can talk about as a team, probably in Marrakesh, as what we want as recommendations, what we think recommendations should look like coming out of those specific objectives. Cheryl and I would probably end up being de facto members of all those groups. I think that Cheryl would take some and I might take others, but I think that that might be a way for us to get smaller groups to try to generate more some preliminary discussion, so that we can have a lot of thoughts when we get together the second time and figure out what good looks like, if you will. And kind of take a look at what that would be into the terms of reference in terms of what we want to put there, but then look at it as a work plan ongoing beyond the submission of the terms of reference. Questions there? Cheryl's a fan. Okay. Very good. Thanks, Daniel. All right, so let's go to the next slide.
Patrick, before we move to the next slide, can we just do a pause for Brenda to ask a question regarding an unknown number, please?
Oh, sure.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. I'm just wondering, is this KC's line that is dialed in ending in 6420? She can't reply. They tell me there's no microphone, but they are dialed in. I'm sending an email, so hopefully I can figure out who the participant is. I disconnected it, just for the record. I did disconnect it. It dialed back in. So I believe they do want to be part of the call. I just need to identify who it is. So apologies for the interruption, and thank you.
No worries. Thanks, Brenda. I appreciate it. Anything else, Jean-Baptiste?
Sorry about that, but thank you.
Okay. Next slide, please. So I've updated the representative timeline to put a little more detail in here and take a look at really what that 40-day window would be, that 60-day window, which is 44 work days. I had to force feed it into Microsoft Project to get to a June 3rd deliverable. But I think still what this shows is still a lot of work to get done in a year. And I'm happy to take feedback on that. If anybody wants to put tasks into there, the other thing that's, in terms of different meetings that we want to try to wrap around, catch up with each other when we are at those meetings, particular, whatever you guys would like to add or even recreate with this timeline. Questions? Happy to make you smile, Cheryl. All right. So that I think in a nutshell is what we're talking about in terms of getting to the terms of reference. Now, one of the things I wanted to call out that's in the representative text within the template terms of reference, which is the next slide. When we take a look at the decision-making process itself, and so each decision that we make needs to have attached to it one of these categories. Do we have full consensus? Do we have consensus? Do we have strong support but significant opposition, divergence, minority view, or no consensus? So I want everybody to think through, or I would like everybody to think through those definitions, and if we think they're the right definitions, do we think we need to modify those definitions or augment those definitions? I think that would be helpful, because when we make recommendations, we're going to attach one of these designations to each one of those recommendations. And we really ought to carry in the terms of reference the right definitions for what we're trying to achieve or what we think for our work. So please think through those, and if you want to make modifications, we should, and let's talk about that. Any questions there? Yes, Cheryl.
Thanks, Pat, Cheryl, and good off the record. And here I just want to remind people who are perhaps not been deeply engaged and involved in policy development processes within the GNSO, or indeed engaged in more recent cross-community working groups, the one on the IANA transfer, and also the Workstream 1 and Workstream 2 of the ICANN organisational accountability work, which I know several of you were deeply engaged, but just in case some of you haven't been. These definitions are the bulk standard ones that are used and are recommended to use within the GNSO. They are well understood, therefore, by a very large number within the community, and they have also been adopted for use in a number of other areas, including the work that the ALAC does internally, and certainly for the cross-community working groups I named earlier. The matter of consensus, however, is not clearly understood when we talk about what it means in the GAC, and therefore we need to be crystal clear, as Pat's saying, and upfront on what our definitions are and if we're going to modify them. And I would encourage us to only do that if we absolutely, positively have to. Otherwise, we'll just, in my view at least, perhaps be more confusing than clarifying. But we do need to be really crystal clear on this. Now, the other thing that is worthwhile considering is good practice in other parts of the organisation have been that the chair or co-chairs or leadership of a particular process or team have worked with their members to establish with their members what the belief is on these levels of consensus, but that it is up to the chairs to establish what levels of consensus are and report that back. Now, obviously, the smart people report it back to the review team or working party or group first, and then try and perhaps even do better, take strong support to consensus perhaps, or consensus to even full consensus, which is sort of a utopian dream, I suppose. But we do also need to note that the matter of minority views was brought up by at least, two of the public comments that came in on the operational procedures for specific reviews. So the community is very interested in these matters of establishing what level of consensus exists and how minority views will not only be established as a measure of consensus, but how the minority views will be articulated and represented in any sort of reporting. So it does take some thinking, and there is no problem at all if we want to discuss this further. But I would encourage you to think about if we're going to make change, how we articulate why we are making that change and how we ensure that any change does not create confusion. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Pat again. So that's the slides that I've prepared in terms of taking a look at the terms of reference. And if there are no objections to what's there, I would ask that we take a first step by really having our first task by collecting our own personal views of what the topics or the areas that we should take a look at and pull those together by March 11th, which would be the Monday that we're at ICANN. If there's no objections to that, I'd like to throw that assignment out to at least get the ball rolling. Any objections? Yes, Jean.
Yes, I've got no objections on what you just said, Pat. I just wanted to go back briefly of the definitions we have here. I cannot agree more with Cheryl. Just one thing we will have to do here is qualify some general terms that we think we do know, but have got no strong significance. For example, a small minority, what is small? A strong support, what is strong? Okay, do we go by the majority of numbers? You know, I think we will have to quantify that at some point. So if we want to be crystal clear, we know what small or strong or minority really, you know, what we're looking at or, you know. That was Jack for the record.
So Jack, this is Pat again. I think that's absolutely correct. And when we are bound at 18, we ought to be able to do that pretty clearly and come to some kind of agreement as to what, I mean, full consensus, that's easy, right, 18? But is consent, whatever number we think consensus should be or minority view, I think you're exactly right, but we ought to be able to do that fairly easily with only 18 people. And I'd be happy to take any suggestions as to what that percentage or what that number of people should be. Cheryl, you had your hand up.
Oh, I was kind of typing, hoping to not take the microphone again, but now I have. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. I think what Chuck said is very, very important. And I like the fact that I was typing crystal clearly as he was saying crystal clear. But I believe what we can do here is put in example text with each one of these definitions, which would go along the lines of a consensus, a small minority disagrees but most agree, and then a following sentence that says, for the purposes of APRT3, a small minority shall be less than and equal to insert a number, right? Close brackets or end sentence. And if we do that, then we're just being clear in what we're articulating and what measurements we're using. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. All right. Well, I'm done with that section then. So on to the face-to-face meetings. Sorry, Sebastian.
Patrick.
Yes, Sebastian.
Yes, thank you very much. Sébastien Vachet speaking. I don't think I was the first one. I guess Jean-Baptiste was before me. But nevertheless, I will be just short. I don't see anywhere a place where we have the way of working with the second reading. And I think it's absolutely necessary that we take into account that we have a second reading. No decision must be taken at the first reading. There are a lot of reasons for that, but one of them I would like to share with you. You are not really helping an international organization here with the way you are speaking fast. You know where you have prepared the meeting, and you know what you are talking about, but the people at the other side of the line may not, and you have to take that into account. I have no problem to understand you, but I think it will be a good courtesy if you can think that you are speaking to foreigners or not English speakers first language, and it will be very much appreciated. Thank you very much.
This is Pat. Sebastian, thank you very much for the constructive comment. I will endeavor to slow down and pause more in between my statements. I do have a tendency to run away with my speaking, so I am more than happy to have a hand raised now and then that says, "Pat, please slow down." And I would really appreciate that. So thank you for that, Sebastian. Jean-Baptiste?
Yes, thank you, Patrick. I just wanted to go back to what was said in the chat. So first there was a comment from Michael saying, does agree mean not actively objecting, to which you and Vanda have replied? Vanda has replied, yes, those are those that we normally use, and I believe it covers the cases we will have. You said, I think so. Then Vanda added, Michael, you can agree with the concept, but not with the concept on action. Michael added that he thinks the definitions are fine, but it's a question of to what degree silence is equated with agreement. And then one of the biggest challenges has been driving consensus in the PDP, and based on previous experience, breaking down the decision makes it faster to draw conclusions and recommendations, the designations, definitions, creating meaningful decisions. I am okay with the definitions. Okay, from Osvaldo with a proposal. Daniel asking whether the list of topics are listed or are they open. No objections from Erika, who thinks it would be good practice for the group. Did you want to go back on these comments? Pat?
I'm sorry?
Did you want to jump back on those comments?
So which one?
I'm not sure that we missed any of those in particular. And of course, the other thing that we need to consider is the chat can and, in my view, should form part of our meeting record. So it would be obvious that, you know, anything that's in chat is going to be, you know, taken down and recorded as well, and there may indeed be a copy from a chat item that ends up in notes or even as an action item. But are you suggesting we have not dealt with everything that was raised?
No, my simple question was whether Pat wanted to add some more clarification on the question that were a result of his presentation.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to figure out which question. Sorry, this is Pat. I'm just trying to figure out which question specifically were you referring to Jean-Baptiste.
Oh, so, sorry. No worries. Just the one from Michael. I was wondering whether he wanted to voice that. The one, does agree mean not actively objecting in case?
So this is Pat. So yes, that's kind of where I'm going when we say we agree. It's, you know, are we going to does it generally cover what we're trying to achieve? And if no one wants to do something different or objects to where we're going, then yes, I would say that that's agreement. But I do agree with Michael that silence does not necessarily mean agreement. But it's hard to determine that unless we're not silent. So I think that will be the ask that I have with all of this, and is that we actively engage. And if something really doesn't work, let's get it on the table and talk about it.
Thank you, Pat. And then maybe my second question was whether there was a collective agreement on the action item. And if yes, if you could just repeat that again so that I can just write it down, and also whether the definition of strong, small can be noted as an action item as well.
Okay, so the two action items I believe that I addressed were, could each of us provide personal feelings on what the topics are or what the areas of review should be by March 11th? And the second one was, for the designations on slide 13, is there a numerical number that we believe each of those should be defined by? I mean, full consensus would clearly be 18, but what is consensus? What do we believe consensus should be from a numerical standpoint?
Thank you, and I see that Martin has his hand raised.
Hi, Pat. Just my thinking on that. I do like the IETF approach there, the rough consensus, which basically is that everybody's been hurt and that there's no more major discussion about it. That consensus, people generally agree. Otherwise, we get to majorities. But the consensus is where everything has been heard and where people generally agree, I would say.
Okay. So this is Pat. So would you want for us to include the term rough consensus?
Could do, as long as it's clear that consensus means there's no head counts, just general agreement. Yeah, I think we'll use either rough consensus to make, that doesn't necessarily mean everybody is perfectly happy.
This is Pat. Thank you, Martin. So then if we have other clarifying verbiage for each of those designations, that would be helpful as well. If some would like to recommend additional clarifying verbiage. But to Cheryl's point, we should be very clear as to what that is. So Sebastian, I saw that you had written in the chat that I'm missing your point about second reading. Can you help me understand then what it is that I'm not understanding? Please.
Thank you, Pat. Sebastian, I didn't see a clear action that we will take that into account, and that it will be the behavior of this working group, or review team, sorry.
Perhaps I can help it, Cheryl.
Please.
Thanks, Pat. Cheryl Langenor for the record. I believe what Sebastian is referring to is the good practice that happens in many of the pieces of work some of us have done in the past, of not having any decision on a single reading of any text or any item. So as I put into the chat, when, for example, we had text in these terms of references that are ours, that we are taking ownership of, and we have our draft text, to transition that into agreed text would take a first, where we would then get even more comments perhaps, and then a second, which may or may not be particularly different to the first, reading. That, I believe, is what Sebastian was referring to. That, I personally believe, is a good principle. It doesn't mean that you have to do it on conference calls. You can do it on list. You can, have deadlines attached to Google Docs. There's lots of ways of doing it. But it does give the surety that if someone, for example, is unable to make a single meeting, they're not missing out on contributing to decision-making processes. That's, I believe, what he is referring to. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Pat. And if that's the case, then I completely agree with that process. Okay, do we have any other questions or concerns with this section of today's discussion?
Next slide, Bottle of Bird then.
All righty.
Pat, there is a hand raise from Daniel.
Oh, yes, Daniel. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Daniel, for the record. Previously, when you mentioned about the members of the team suggesting topics, are they specific topics or they're open topics? In case they're specific, could they be listed somewhere whereby one could be able to raise the topics? Thank you, Pat.
So, Daniel, you're asking for a place for us to list these topics, correct?
That's right. Or if the topics are already identified, for listing?
No, there's nothing listed or there's nothing identified right now. It's a completely open slate. So we can raise or suggest topics of any nature, as long as they fit within, the areas that we've got a remit for.
Thank you. That's fine with me.
So that leads to another action item, Jean-Baptiste, and that we need a document set up for the receipt of suggestions.
All right. On that, Pat, would it be easier if Liberty members send the suggestions and we compile the documents, or would you prefer that, for example, a Google Doc is set up?
Cheryl, what's worked best in the past for you?
Thanks, Pat, for the question. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. It does depend on the team members. There are some work parties and teams and groups where some of the participants are unable to access Google Docs for various reasons. Even when that is the case, it's become common practice to use Google Docs and go through the additional effort of creating PDFs regularly from them and taking from individuals who cannot access or use Google Docs for their input. The advantage of a Google Doc over putting things in via either email or having a pen hole to do it is that people, once they are an editor or a commenter on the doc, do get a prompt to say, Daniel has just made a comment on section 6.5 of the document, and so it primes you to pop in and go, oh, Daniel, I'm sorry, I don't agree with that at all, and make that comment or whatever. So in my experience, it does aid in collaboration. But obviously, if we have members of the review team who cannot or will not access Google Docs, then we need to compensate for that. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl.
And Daniel is his hand raised.
Yes, Daniel.
It's Daniel for the record. And probably I would like to ask you if or request the members if there is anyone who cannot be able to use Google Docs, to at least mention such type of other alternatives that can be able to be suitable for everyone. But at least previously I've seen the Google Docs working very well for collaboration, especially in drafting documents. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. So if there's nothing else, are we ready to move on?
All right, Pat. We'll have a look at whether Google Doc can be created.
Thank you. All right, so face-to-face meetings. So we've decided again on April 3rd through 5th in Los Angeles. Has everyone contacted ICANN Travel Support or worked with them to make arrangements for travel to LA for that time period?
Here, and while we're waiting for people to respond, hopefully in chat with more yeses than noes, is there anyone who is concerned that they will have visa issues to enter into the United States? Because if that's the case, I fear making anything happen in this short time that we have is going to be extremely challenging matter. Visa issues usually take a lot longer than the time we have available to fix. But please, if you don't want to let us know in in this public forum. If you can drop Pat and I a line, we can only do our best to work with constituency travel and staff to help you through your visa issues. But it is, as we know, not all countries accept all residents from all other countries, so it's just something we're going to have to deal with. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. Jean-Baptiste?
Yes, thank you, Pat. I just wanted to follow on several comments in the chat about the hotel. So the first question for Martin, so usually, yes, you would be at the same hotel. And if you have not heard from travel support regarding the hotel, please just bear in mind that right now they are really busy with ICANN 64, so you should be hearing from that pretty soon. And on our side, we'll follow up as well on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. Next slide, please. And then we have a deadline by Friday to request a face-to-face meeting for ICANN 65. I think given the discussion about doing face-to-face reviews with each of the SOs and ACs, I think it's important that we go ahead and submit for that meeting. Are there any objections to that?
Sebastian, as is hand raised.
Yes, Sebastian.
Yes, Sebastian is speaking. Thank you, Pat and Jean-Baptiste. Yeah, I am a little bit confused with that. I heard at the last meeting that there was no question to have meeting of this review team during an ICANN meeting, and now we are asking us if we want the meeting during an ICANN meeting. Therefore, I would like to understand what changed between the last call and now on that issue. Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Sebastian. I think that what you're referring to is that at the ICANN Kobe meeting, we did not have enough runway ahead of the meeting to be able to ask for a meeting request, and that we were going to meet informally in Kobe, that we were going to formally meet and get the request in on time for the ICANN meeting in Marrakesh. Cheryl, if I'm remembering incorrectly, please correct me. So Cheryl's typed in that.
Sebastian, again, you see why it's so important the way you are presenting things. I am sure that I have heard that it was for all the ICANN meeting. Of course, for Kobe, it was not possible. It's so short that it was say there's no possibility because at the end of the meeting, they have no more facilities and so on and so forth. Therefore, I am happy to hear that, but I was really sure that it was not the case. Therefore, we need to find the best way to communicate because it's really a problem for me what it's now, not the topic, but the way it's come back. But then, therefore, I have no problem with meeting before, after, when it decided to have meeting, but I was a little bit surprised. Thank you.
And Pat just wanted to mention that there is a queue with Martin and Tola.
All right, so I don't know who was first, but Martin, since you're at the top of the list. Okay. Martin?
Yeah, just signaling that, as you know, always prior to an ICANN meeting, there's a board meeting. And whereas I'm fully committed to ATRT3, I also have other commitments to ICANN. So I wouldn't be able to join most of the time. I think it's important to use the ICANN meetings to have interaction with the community, but I would strongly recommend or to have face-to-face meetings outside of the ICANN meetings, where I'm sure I'm not the only one with additional commitments. So I vote for a face-to-face meeting with the community, but against a face-to-face meeting of the ATRTs through there.
Thank you, Martin. This is Pat. Sebastian, if we were, or if I was specifically unclear, I do apologize, but my recollection was that the issue was Kobe only. And so I think it's important for us to meet when it's appropriate. And I do agree with Martin that having engagement with the community at this time, after we've just posted the terms of reference for review, that it would be beneficial to chat with the community. Thank you.
Michael, you've got your hand up. Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I'm not sure if now is the time for this. This is Michael Karanikolas for the record. I'm not sure if now is the time to get into this, but I just, in response to that, I'd briefly say that I support using the ICANN meetings to do our face-to-face meetings, just because for me personally, it's difficult to add additional trips into the three ICANN meetings. So, the other commitments are what makes it more difficult for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it to LA because it is so close on the heels of this other ICANN meeting. And, you know, there's a limited amount of time that I can devote to travel connected to ICANN. So that's my position. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Cheryl here, and I suspect you're not alone. As I pointed out in the chat, the June meeting, of course, being the very much the policy meeting and therefore the shortest of all the days committed to an ICANN meeting of the three meetings, would be an ideal opportunity to have community interaction, as I think we've all pretty much agreed. Or at least nobody seems to be objecting to that, would be ideal at this stage of our work. We could very much therefore consider having our face-to-face after the ICANN meeting, so the day or day and a following day or two after the ICANN meeting without huge impost on our time. Is something that perhaps we can poll, and so perhaps we can, between now and Friday, call for any objections to us meeting with community interaction during the Marrakesh meeting. But of course, we will have to get onto everyone's agendas as well. So the sooner we do that, the better. And to have a day or two—that's up to you all as well. By then, I would suggest two might be more worthwhile than one. Immediately following the Marrakesh meeting, and where we can probably, because of the small scale, just gather in a hotel, in our hotel conference facilities. Most hotels have a boardroom or something. We're not 300, we're, 20. That includes staff. So if we can poll that, then we'll be able to fit in with the deadline for 1st of March to put in a meeting request for Marrakesh. And obviously, not everyone will be able to make it. That's the nature of being a volunteer. Real life does occasionally get in the way of ICANN work, although it doesn't seem to for some of us. Jean-Baptiste, over to you.
Yes, Cheryl. I just wanted to follow up on what you said regarding a meeting just after the end of this policy meeting. Unfortunately, and this is mentioned here on this slide, we don't have any possibility to have face-to-face organized in Marrakesh just after the meeting has taken place. It would be before or during, unfortunately.
Sorry, Jean-Baptiste, did you just say anything that we weren't reading on the slide?
Yes, sir. Sorry if you can't hear me because of the microphone. I was just replying to...
Thank you. It's been like listening to you from the bottom of the ocean. It's going to be so interesting to hear what you're saying. Right. Try again.
All right. Sorry about that, everyone. So, Cheryl, I was just replying to what you said and your suggestion to have a discussion with the community and followed by a meeting after the end of the ICANN meeting. Unfortunately, as mentioned on this slide, per the guidelines for this meeting, we cannot organize any face-to-face meeting after the meeting. It can only be before or during. So I just wanted to make that distinction, and it's pretty important. Thank you.
And I'd like to know why. If it is in a hotel, not seating, not the conference centre, not actually associated with meeting B, but immediately after meeting B in a convenient location. What has that got to do with the limitations of the meetings, the meetings format, which Sebastian can tell you chapter and verse may not be being implemented in the way it was designed?
Thank you for providing more details. From what you had said, I understood that you meant the meeting itself. I wanted to check with a meeting team whether this would be feasible to do that at another location and whether there would be available staff to do that meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Jean-Baptiste. So then could we put up a doodle poll, since we have to have this request in on Friday, that would help us determine whether before or during or after would be the best for us to meet? Although I do believe that if we want to take advantage of the SOs and the ACs present to be able to have conversations with them in a formal manner, at least some part of it will have to be during the meeting.
And Pat, Sebastian is hand raised.
Yes, Sebastian.
Thank you very much, but I think we need to really split the two items. we need to have interaction with the community. And therefore, this interaction or those interactions must be during the meeting, if we have, and I hope we will find time for that. That's the interaction with the participant of the meeting. The other question, it's a face-to-face meeting of our group. That's another question. And this second question, of course, you can ask if we can have before, during. I think from my point of view, it's impossible to do a two-day meeting and all our usual activity as a SOAC member or board meeting or board member or so on and so forth. Therefore, I think it will be difficult. If we ask before or after, we have already the answer of our esteemed colleague from the board who say that he will have a board meeting before. And I guess some of us will have other activity before. Therefore, I think the proposal of Cheryl to have it after the end of the meeting in Marrakesh, in another place, could be the best one and the more suitable one to try to have everybody, and particularly Martin. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. So if we want to take advantage of Marrakesh, does that mean that the only time we can really get together for what we're doing is before? Jean-Baptiste?
I believe, I mean, it's up to the review team, obviously.
If I can, the concern Jean-Baptiste, Cheryl, for the record, the concern Jean-Baptiste is alluding to is the request that ACs and SOs do not have additional in-service training and similar days added on to the policy meeting. So that is an entirely different beast to, I believe, what we are suggesting. And I would think that we should consider our request at no different to something like the nominating committee meeting after interaction with the community during an ICANN meeting. So I'm got relatively high confidence that this will not be a problem provided it is asked for in the appropriate way. Okay?
Okay. All right, so Jean-Baptiste, this is Pat. So in terms of the request, we'll get that sent in by Friday. And we'll figure out when.
All right, Pat. And you still want us to send a doodle poll to the review team, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Please. All right, so I recognize that we're coming up at the end of the 90 minutes, and so there is a section on transparency that I'm not certain we'll get through in 5 minutes. So should we put that off to the next meeting? Are there any objections to pushing that off to the next meeting?
In the chat, fine from Cheryl, fine from Denis, Okay, from Osvaldo. No hands so far. All right, fine for Michael, so, and Daniel as well. Shall we move to the informal meeting, Patrick?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Would you like me to report on that, Pat?
Yes, please, Jean-Baptiste.
All right, sorry about that. So just to mention that based on the Doodle poll, so the result was that Monday on the 11th of March had six positive replies, but including one with remote participation, and two others on Tuesday are also a possibility. So, I mean, it would be your decision. Also, I just wanted to mention that Pat has offered to have the team do this informal meeting at the very same room. So, depending on maybe the availability of the room or any other aspect, you would be able to better define what would be the best date and time for this meeting. Thank you. And Martin has his hand raised, so does Cheryl. So Martin,
yes,
first.
Martin.
Okay, just with all the planning of the face-to-face meeting, we shouldn't forget that for sure we should apply and try to organize that we have a meeting with the community, a face-to-face meeting with the community. Doesn't require the full ATRT team, but for sure a good number to listen to the community. We can foresee we want to interact with the community. We should want to interact with the community. So independent from the face-to-face meeting, let's also make sure that we plan and we ask the SOACs to be on the schedule for that, I guess, both for Marrakesh and Montreal.
Thank you, Martin. Cheryl?
Did put it in, Cheryl, for the record. I just want to point out that all Doodle went out in neat little one-hour blocks over all sorts of days, but apparently nobody had looked at the closing ceremony, sorry, the opening ceremony closing time, as the opening ceremony on Monday morning is not slated to finish until 10:15. I think it would behoove us to perhaps consider starting, if you choose the Monday, at 10:30 and run to 11:30, thereby taking at least half of our time in what would be the coffee break anyway, just because I think it's extraordinarily rude to get up and leave an opening ceremony. But that's just me.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. And I'll take a look at the availability of our room as well with those three times, and I'll send a note out to the mailing list no later than tomorrow on that. Yes, Martin. Or is that an old hand?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. So in the brief 2 minutes that we have remaining, anything on all other business? Jean-Baptiste?
Yes, thank you, Pat. I just wanted to follow up on the presentation that was given on the last plenary call by Xavier Calvé and Charles Chamblay on the budget and fact sheet. If you recall, they mentioned that the routine shall identify a finance liaison, and I just wanted to point out that this has not been identified yet, so maybe it's right right now is not the best time to discuss that, but just wanted to inform you to keep that in mind for your decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. I guess I would throw it out to say, is there anybody who wants to volunteer for that particular role amongst the group? Think about it, or volunteer now, but let Cheryl or I know if that's something you would like to do as part of this. If not, we could figure out some other method to find somebody, or Cheryl and I could take on the role.
Pat, Cheryl, just as we're saying, obviously things like this also need to go to our mailing list, because not every member of the review team is on this call, and we may find there's a willing volunteer who hasn't been able to attend today. But it would be useful to make sure we pop out a brief job description, because the title may not be incredibly clear to anyone who hasn't been ensconced in the new way of budget control that really only came into the ICANN way of doing things in the Workstream 2 world. So, that will help shake out a volunteer, I hope. And, Pat, I think you and I don't have any choice but to be engaged regardless, but seeing as I believe it's our responsibility.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay, so Cheryl, I will do that. I'll send out, as soon as Jean-Baptiste sends the job description that I think he's volunteered to do, I will send out a note calling for a volunteer if we have one, if we can get one.
That's perfect. Pat, I'm always concerned about valuing our volunteers' time, so how about we do something slightly radical, and we say to everyone who's on the call who needs to sign off now, because the hour that we have tried to steal from their lives the 90 minutes that we've tried to steal from their lives is up, but that staff and you and I will stay on the call with whomever else wishes to join, and we will just go through the action items and make sure that we have in fact captured everything and what our next steps are going to be. So sort of give permission for everyone to leave if they need to, but welcome them to stay on if they've got another 5 or so minutes to spare. The only other thing I would suggest is it's pretty important that you take the time now to also look at the part of the slide deck, which is looking at the transparency guiding principles, which has been put off to our next meeting. And so do your homework. Your homework assignment includes commentary on consensus and the quantification of the different parts of the consensus listings that we've seen today, and to prepare yourself fully for the discussion on transparency guiding principles.
My great suggestion.
Go ahead, Mark.
Michael? Michael, we can hear you, so maybe you want to type your question in the chat?
Yes, can I just say the times with staff for COVID time, you should be able to, although I certainly wasn't able to, select COVID my Doodle insisted that I looked at it in local time, so I just had to keep subtracting the appropriate amount of hours. And Vanda, to answer you, there will be remote participation because of the generosity of us being able to use the Iris room, which is VeriSign set up. There will be a conference call capability. Noting you for the record, but also letting you know that the majority of our members will be probably leaving us now, because we've run through our agenda for today, and we're just going to take an extra few minutes to go through with anyone who wishes to stay on the action items and decisions made, which obviously is something that you'll probably be very interested in listening to. Okay, Keith, do you want to take us through the concern decisions, recent action items, noting that many action items have been captured as we've gone through today's call in the discussion notes. And I want to thank staff for the fabulous job they do in capturing all our gibberish and making it into some semblance of readable and understandable language. Over to you.
Thank you, Sherwood. And thank you again, Pat, for just repeating your challenge today. So on decisions reached, as you mentioned at the beginning of this call, Sherwood, there will be a continuous exposure for updating statements of interest. In terms of action items, ICANN will share the slide on operating standards from today's MSSI Pre-ICANN 64 webinar with the review team. The Rivity members will provide personal feelings on what the topics are also areas of review, and this should be done by March 11. For the designation on slide 13 of this presentation, is there a numerical number that HR3 believes that each member should be defined by? What HR3 believes consensus should be from a numerical standpoint? We will seem to add clarifying verbiage for terms on slide 13. Then we'll look for a documentary setup for the receipt of suggestions. We will send out a dual call to determine whether face-to-face would be better before, during, after item 65. To liaise with a meetings team whether face-to-face meeting at a different location than item 65 venue would be a possibility. And finally, I can hope to send out a brief job description for HR3 finance liaison, and then Pat to send out the call for volunteers.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste.
Was that a correct capture of your action items and decisions reached?
I believe it to be.
I believe so too. And obviously, anyone who sees any difference in the notes, more than welcome to update it in the next 12 to 24 hours. The only thing which I've also put into chat is that as most people who are travelling to ICANN 64 are going to be travelling through next week, Pat and I have decided to not hold our usual ATRT3 weekly meeting next week, but we will, of course, have our hour together in K-Bay for those of you who are on-site and for those who can join remotely. We don't believe this will put us behind schedule at all, especially if you respond to your doodle poll regarding things that we need deadlines for by the end of this week. We should be tracking pretty well based on what we have proposed is done and how it is done out of today's call. Anything else from you, Pat?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, well, with that, thank you one and all. Thanks for the extra 10 minutes for those of you who were able to hang around in that time. There's a couple of things that need to go out to the list. I think staff will be doing some of it, and Pat will be doing at least one piece. And other than that, we will also send ICAL invitations out for the next meeting in the time after COVID, and Pat and I will discuss when that should be, because ICANN traditionally tries to not have meetings the week after an ICANN meeting. So we shall have to contemplate that. It may involve perhaps a small shift, but we'll get back to you on that once we've worked it out with staff. Thank you, one and all. Thank you very much, Pat, for managing today's call so well. And with that, feel free to disconnect and enjoy the rest of your day or evening. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.